You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, still no explicit word on a motive for the Colorado Springs mass murder in a gay nightclub. But more details emerge. Meanwhile, UC strike, the largest strike of educators in the country's history, and one of the largest strikes period that we've seen in decades, continues. A rail strike still in question. Won't know until the December 5th cooling period has ended. In Ohio, the Republicans push a bill to strip the Board of Education of its powers after Democrats win a majority. Title 42 now officially ending on December 21st. DOJ suit stops massive publishing consolidation on antitrust grounds. Lindsey Graham to appear today in front of a Georgian grand jury. Representatives Omar and Castro, 11 others in the House, push for UN oversight of Yemen atrocities. Ukraine, meanwhile, besieged by Russian attacks on civilian infrastructure, launch an offensive on the Black Sea Peninsula. Elon Musk, now personally reinstating right-wing Twitter accounts. Says he's ready to hire again. Peter Thiel bankrolled anti-woke bank. Oh, I should say Peter Thiel bankrolled an anti-woke bank. And now it's collapsed.
Go anti-woke, go broke, as they say, right?
Without...
Survive.
In Arizona, a second county refuses to certify the Hobbs victory because of what happened in a different county that also was imaginary. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. It is Tuesday.
Newsday.
There you go. Hey. Emma Vigeland here to finish my sentences and to come up with all the catchphrases that we have.
That's what I get paid the bucks for.
No, all right. Fair enough. I mean,
some bucks.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. I mean, it's not volunteer work. Let's put it that way. Folks, we're just 2 days away from Thanksgiving. We're giddy with the idea of a Thanksgiving break. We will be running content that the vast majority of you have not heard on Friday. A couple of interviews. We're still deciding which ones that came from the old Peacock show that we did, which is why I'm confident almost none of you heard of it. Peacock, not known for its huge draw unless it is like sequesters, you know, World Cup games or something.
Yeah,
like
or,
that.
You know, you're like me and all of the Real Housewives franchises were on Hulu until they weren't. And then I find out where they are and I go, time for me to pay $3 a month
it's my primary Peacock.
Real Housewives with ads.
Yeah. With ads.
Pretty sure I suggest that you do not say that in public. But well, help me. But,
I can't help myself.
let's just turn to Iran for a moment. I should just say that, you know, in terms of programming notes, there's a lot of stories that we're working on getting folks on to talk to us about. The potential for a train strike, which could be, you know, about a week and a half away. We're going to be talking next week to about COP27, which happened over the past couple of weeks. I anticipate we're going to have another guest on to give us an update about what's happening in Iran. I think to a large extent, the protests in Iran have had more durability than I think a lot of people anticipated they might, because you have a an authoritarian theocratic regime there that doesn't really in any way allow for protest typically in the scale that we're seeing it now. And that's what makes this clip we're about to play that much more sort of surprising in some ways. There has been a lot of video that you've seen of women who have refused to wear the hijab in public and have sort of made protests out of this. And they have been harassed in small and larger ways. The Iranian the soccer team, I guess they lost yesterday in what the Iranian regime is now saying was a fault of the protesters. This clip of, and this is from yesterday, was this after the loss? From after the loss, we have an Iranian soccer player who had this to say, which, as far as I can tell, involves a tremendous amount of bravery. I don't know if he's going to end up going back to Iran or what, but listen to this.
And there are subtitles if you want.
And there are subtitles. I guess I'll read them.
Before anything added,
I would like to express my condolences to all bereaved families in Iran. They should know that we are with them. We support them and we sympathize with them. We have to accept that the conditions in our country are not right. Our people are not happy. We are here, but it does not mean that we should not be their voice or we must not respect them. Whatever we have is for them, and we must fight, we must perform the best we can.
ما هر چی داریم از مردممون هست و ما اینجا هستیم که سخت
and to score goals and present the bereaved people of Iran with results.
بهترین عملکردمون رو توی زمین بذاریم و گل بزنیم و گلمون رو تقدیم به مردم داغدار
I hope the conditions change to accept the expectations of the people.
امیدوارم که شرایط اونطور که مردم میخوان رقم بخوره و همه شاد بشن.
I mean, that's to do that, particularly on the world stage, you know, I imagine it takes just a tremendous amount of courage. I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen to that guy if that player is planning on heading back to Iran. I imagine he is. And must know that yeah. he's going to be greeted at the airport in not a terribly friendly way.
And notably, that was like, his name is Ehsan Hajsafi. He's the captain of the team. So, and I mean, not just like a, you know, backman. Not to say it would matter any less, but just the fact that he's like...
Well, you're speaking for the Iranian team.
And as well yeah. as the country there. And I agree, this is you know, to see this much... attention to dissent in Iran, and where the media is very, very, very suppressed. My grandmother has not had internet for the last few months living in Tehran, so haven't been able to like video call her on WhatsApp as a result for the last few months. For a lot of this attention to get out of the country and a lot of this coverage to get out of the country, I think is kind of a sea change, and it's heartening to see. But of course, I worry about people like this guy.
Well, you also see, you know, there were two actresses that were arrested over the weekend, high profile Iranians who are now being more vocal and speaking out about this, and there are hundreds who have died that we know of. From Iranian security forces, and like that, just, you know, you get more and more reports that just are even more harrowing. Cops open firing in the Tehran metro station on protesters and things like that. And so the fact that this, I mean, what we know is horrible. What we don't know is also
right.
most likely even worse.
Yeah, at least 16,000, at least, protesters arrested. As of a couple of days ago, at least 350 were dead. And, you know, I think the U.S. is, I think, expressed support for the Iranian people in these protests. And there's, you know, it's always dicey as to how far you want the U.S. to outwardly show support. I mean, I would imagine that the United States has always had some conduits on the ground to try and foment some measure of dissent. But this seems to be much more organic than protests that we may have seen in the past in various places. And sometimes too much support from the U.S. is problematic in these instances, at least too much public support. So we'll see. We got a couple of words from our sponsors, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what's taking place in Colorado Springs, what we know that is new, but also you know, the way that the right is reacting to it, because, you know, we don't have we don't have much, I should say, we don't have conclusive evidence that this guy went targeted the Q nightclub because there was a drag show that night. There was a drag brunch the next day. But it would not be irrational to assume that's what this was about. And also, it is beyond a doubt that the right has been fomenting this as a concerted effort. I think for the Republican Party, it was an electoral strategy, which failed miserably. And for a lot of people on the right, it's both a career and a career strategy and a they've decided their fundamentalist mission, but we'll talk about that in a second. It's hard for me to even bring it up without getting mad. And so, but I got to take this break for our sponsors. So we will do that. And just a reminder, your support helps the show continue. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. We haven't had this sponsor for a while, but I've been using its product for several years, in fact. We got to get a little bit more back in here. So I haven't been snacking on it. Magic Spoon cereal. Cereal, one of the best parts of growing when you were growing up, being a kid. Also, I imagine for the parents, too. It's pretty easy. You can put the bowl down, pour it in there, a little bit of milk, one dish to clean. That's easy peasy. Problem is, you are basically putting the bowl down there and then pouring a bunch of sugar into it. Good news, Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's as amazing as a midnight snack right before bed as well. Sometimes during the show. Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar. Zero. It has 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories a serving. It is keto-friendly. It is gluten-free. It is grain-free. It is soy-free. And it is low-carb. It's the monk fruit sweetener. Exceptional. You can build your own box, too. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle. You can get a box of cocoa. You can get a box of fruity. You can get a box of frosted. You can get a box of peanut butter, which is excellent. They're all excellent, but I mean, I'm looking at the ones now, the cocoa and the peanut butter are the ones that start to get me like, and then of course the cinnamon, everybody knows that's my favorite. They have cookies and cream, maple waffle, blueberry, and now they have a reformulated honey nut flavor added to Magic Spoon's permanent collection. It has 1 gram of sugar. The honey nut one does.
Oh, wow.
It's good though. It's really good. Cinnamon still remains my favorite. Then I would say cocoa and then peanut butter. I don't need to list them. But, you know, nobody cares what my favorites are. But my kids love the frosted and the fruity and the honey nut and the cookies and cream, actually. Check it out. Go to magicspoon.com/majorityreport to grab a custom bundle of cereal and be sure to use the promo code majorityreport at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it is backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, you don't like the flavor, I don't know why you wouldn't. They'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/majorityreport. Use the code MAJORITYREPORT to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode and, frankly, my breakfast multiple times a day and even better for my kids, because then I don't feel like I'm a bad parent. I'm giving them sugarful. That's basically it. That's all the parenting is. It's just trying like guilt management that you're not doing it right. It's true.
Good to know.
Next sponsor. They're listeners of the program. IAC Laser. IAC Laser Engraving is a leftist-owned worker collective started by a longtime listener, Ryan Lubin, in September of 2021. His company is democratically structured to ensure that any hierarchies are justified and efficient. They use sustainably sourced materials coupled with extremely energy-efficient laser technology to bring you really unique products that you won't find anywhere else. Your purchase of any of their items not only gets you a one-of-kind product, it also goes directly to supporting a business model that is structured around compassionate and worker-centered care as opposed to the more traditional and predatory authoritarian ones found throughout capitalism. They sent us some new examples of what they make there. And, you know, Saul's been waiting on his astronaut. Where is the astronaut? I have it at the bottom of the pile right now, but I'll show that. But I swear to you, as soon as I opened this up, everybody, first of all, everybody in the studio was like, whoa. And then it just became like Lord of the Flies around here as to who was going to get what. Check this out. This is a, there's nine.
This one's amazing.
There's nine layers to this. It is an owl. I don't know.
Show it like a little from the side. Yeah. So, right?
You can see there's depth to it like that. Mm. Yeah, there we go. Like that gives you a sense. There's nine different layers here of sustainable wood. And it's gorgeous. The detail is crazy. It's crazy. And Emma immediately was like, wait a second, what's going to happen to that? Christmas gifts.
Yes.
And, you don't normally hear Matt go, whoa. That doesn't happen that often. Here is a, just as an example, a Sasquatch. And so what do you call these guys?
Sasquatch sounds like a sausage. Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And there's Sasquatch. And then there's a bunch of little tiny ones in there. This thing's got like, I think, four, eight layers and then tiny ones in there. It is all, again, sustainably produced. Super cool. And this, of course, is the astronaut that is going to go on Saul's wall. A little Hanukkah gift, maybe.
Hmm.
And then this is also really cool. They've got a tortoise. And I should say the owl comes in a smaller version. And this turtle comes in a smaller version as well. Again, you can see this has got nine layers of depth. It can hang both ways, this way or this way. And they have all sorts of cool gifts like this. They have puzzles that you can customize with pictures that you provide for them. Really amazing gifts, really gifts that people are going to appreciate for years and years and years. They've got puzzles, again, with like pictures that you can customize or pictures from local Ohio artists. And they come in a felt-lined box. You should check it out. Visit IACLasers.com to order yours today. Enter in the coupon code MAJORITY10 at purchase, and you'll receive a 10% discount on their amazing products. It's at iaclasers.com, coupon code MAJORITY10. Of course, we'll put this all in the podcast description. Lastly, another fun last-minute gift. If one of our sponsors today is Established Titles. Established Titles is a project based on the historic Scottish custom where landowners are referred to as lairds or lords or ladies in English. Established Titles allows you to ceremonially buy as little as 1 square foot of dedicated land in Eddleston, Scotland, so that you call yourself a lord or a lady. Now, you can call yourself a lord or a lady anyways, if you want. I mean, this doesn't have the power of, you know, sort of like some type of legal situation. But you get an official certificate with a crest, which features your unique plot number. And this allows you to see exactly where your plot is located. And but if you want to put on your, you know, plane tickets, lord or lady, you want to put on your dating profiles, there you go. You've got the certificate. And here's also a great part. Established Titles plants one tree with every order. Established Titles does great work all over the world with environmental organizations like One Tree Planted and Trees for the Future. So Established Titles, you know, it's a fun novelty gift, but you're also helping preserve the picturesque woodlands and biodiversity of Scotland, supporting global afforestation efforts. Makes a great last-minute gift. I have here Lord Sam Cedar as my plot number. I also have a lady one, too, because you can do that.
Yeah.
It's okay. I can be Lord or Lady if I want.
You should put that on the right stuff.
There you go. I should do that. See what that... I've got to try a different tack there. But makes a great last-minute gift. They have a couple packs with adjoining plots of land, which is fun. The first 200 people purchasing a title pack using my link will effectively be next to my plot within a few minutes of walking distance, basically building a Majority Report kingdom over there. Established Titles now running a Black Friday sale. Plus, if you use the code MAJORITY, you get an additional 10% off. Go to establishedtitles.com/majority. Use the code MAJORITY. Get your gifts now. Help support the show. That's establishedtitles.com/majority. Coupon code MAJORITY saves you 10%. All right, let's get into this. Like I say, there is, we don't have, we don't have definitive evidence as to why this guy committed this atrocity in Colorado Springs, but. You know, and I could come up with a couple of other explanations, perhaps, but it is very hard to ignore all the signs that indicate this was a hate crime. In addition to him being treated, you know, charged with a hate crime, right. That it was a hate crime inspired by the relentless, now going on almost 2 years, attacks against trans people. And against just drag queens by the right in this country. They made it the primary issue in the midterms as a Republican Party, as an institution. You know, it's like one thing if you got like some idiot like Matt Walsh pretending he's an expert in these things and mouthing off on his, you know, his internet show. Although he's, you know, now part of like a very big media enterprise, and the way that they integrate these things in the right is very different than it is in the left. But the Republican Party in Michigan, the overwhelming amount of paid ads for their candidates focused on things like cross-dressing and transgender people. The overwhelming ad buys. And so this has been a concerted effort by the right.
Even legislatively, like Texas Republican or state Republican parties, Texas, Tennessee, I think Michigan as well, trying to ban drag shows in schools or in public, things like that.
Outlawing, criminalizing parents who provide any type of gender affirming care for their kids. I mean, this is what it's gotten to. And so we don't have definitive evidence yet or understanding of why this guy committed this atrocity. But let's be clear. All you need to do is look at the way that the right is reacting to it. If you want to know exactly where this was headed. Here is the deputy chief of Colorado Springs Department. And the idea that someone could get offended by this is just nuts. But listen to what Adrian Vasquez did when he was announcing the victims of this crime.
We respect all of our community members, including our LGBTQ community. Therefore, we will be identifying the victims by how they identified themselves and how their families have loved and identified them. The first person I'll identify is Kelly Loving. Kelly's pronouns are she, her. Daniel Aston. Daniel's pronouns are he, him. Derek Rump. Derek's pronouns are he, him. Ashley Paugh, that's P-A-U-G-H. Ashley's pronouns are she, her. Raymond Green Vance. Raymond's pronouns are he, him.
So just to be clear, the guy is announcing the five people who were murdered in this club and discussing the almost 20 others that were severely injured in this onslaught in the club. And what do you take away from this if you are a right-wing operative, politico, whatever you want to call it? Here is Jenna Ellis. She is, she was like
she was working on the Trump legal team.
She's on the Trump's legal team. She is a Newsmax person. She is a longtime Republican lawyer. And this is her response to when the Colorado Springs Police Department posted essentially a write-up of what the chief of police had said. And she writes, Colorado Springs PD is posting photos of the victims with their preferred pronouns as if that is what is most important to their humanity. I mean, can you imagine looking at pictures of these five people who've been killed and taking issue with the fact that the police department respected the pronouns that they used?
Woke cops. I mean, obviously wokeness infecting police departments all across the country. Like, but is she saying that gender is not a fundamental and immutable characteristic of somebody that has to be static and defined? Or she's essentially saying that their identifiers, their pronouns, not important to their humanity. That's surprisingly a woke take from Jenna Ellis. She wants to move beyond gender, I see.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, there's obviously like the logic of the whole thing is completely irrational, but this is a psychopath.
Yeah.
This is a psychopath.
Yeah. Jennifer Cohn has the scoop on Ellis, but she has this long thread here. People can check it out. I'll just read the first one. But Jenna Ellis, an alum of one of James Dobson's Colorado Springs nonprofits. We should maybe do something on Dobson.
Cause I used to do a lot of stuff on Dobson. Yeah. I mean, this is the guy who he had a parenting book, too, where you're supposed to like make sure that your kid sees the size of your penis so that he understands like where.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. And I mean, there was all sorts of James Dobson stuff, and they had to focus on the family. I think that's what it was called now that I recall.
I remember that.
Sometime we're in a better mood. Maybe we'll play the prank phone calls I had talking to their culture reporter who was claiming that Lenny the Shark was cross-dressing as a dolphin and, you know, sending messages. And they were, the guy actively was promoting, like, a little bit of bullying in school would be good. literally said this.
Not much has changed. That's their position on trans kids.
It's
and gay kids for that.
Yes,
matter.
And just like how much of a psycho do you have to be to not only have this thought when you see these pictures of these people who've been murdered because they're gay, because that they are trans, because that they were in a place where men were going to dress up as women and women may have dressed up as men and they're shot. And your first reaction is like, can't believe they're using their pronouns.
You know who thought that their pronouns were important to their identity were, I mean, in the sense that they wanted to be identified as those pronouns and they made that clear. And Jenna Ellis is making a determination post-mortem that that's not important. No, they thought it was important. And it's literally the story of what were of the fallout from this massacre.
I mean, these people are exterminationists and they want the state to help erase the identities of gay and trans people.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. They don't care about the killing as much as they care about any type of normalization, regardless of the circumstances.
And when there is a killing, they're like, well, this is
they're the
because they
somehow.
Went too far, exactly. Right? This is naturally what's going to happen.
They're the victims. Here is a clip of Richard Fierro. He is a Colorado Springs resident. An Army vet. He was there apparently with his kids.
His daughter had a friend performing in the drag show, and so he was there with his wife, his daughter, I think a few of her friends supporting her friend from high school who was performing.
And her boyfriend, he was one of the victims. He was killed.
Oh my God.
Her daughter's boyfriend. His daughter, Fierro's daughter's boyfriend was killed. He was one of the five.
And, just horrific. And apparently this guy, I think he was the guy who was also arrested by the cops and held for an hour as he was desperately trying to find out what happened to his family. But listen to this. This is the guy who approached, and apparently the murderer was in full body armor. So completely prepared for what was going on here. Very much premeditated. And
this guy's a hero. Like more people would have died. All the authorities are saying if he did not.
Without a doubt.
Take action.
Here is a.
It may not even have been a window lift, but I saw a lot of people and this guy was there and I saw the ACU pattern flag vest. And for me, that was like, there's a handle, I'm getting it. So I ran across the room, grabbed the handle, pulled him down, and then started to, I think I went for his gun with him. His rifle flew in front of him. And the young man that tried to jump in there with me, we both either pulled him down or whatever, but he ended up at his head. And right next to the AR. And then with the AR, I told him, push the AR, get the AR away from him. The kid pushed the AR. I don't know what his name was. And then I proceeded to take his other weapon, the pistol, and then just start hitting him at where I could, but the armor's in the way. And I found a crease in between his armor and his head. And I just started wailing away, with his gun. And then I told the kid in front of me, kick him, keep kicking him. And I was guiding him. I was telling people, call 911, call 911. I brought him down. I was in mode. I was doing what I do downrange, you know. I trained for this. I don't want to ever do this. I didn't even retire because I was done doing this stuff. It was too much. And it came in handy. And I got to protect my kid. I lost my kid's boyfriend. I tried to have everybody in there. I still feel bad that there's five people that didn't go home. And this guy, I told him while I was hitting him, I said, I'm going to kill you, man, because you tried to kill my friends. My family was in there. My little girl was in there with her.
We are so sorry for the loss that you and your family have gone through.
Absolutely but just devastating to hear the pain of people losing their friends, losing their family, and the reaction from the right is just astonishing. Just absolutely astonishing.
Saw Jack Posobiec tweeting, you know, why was this guy at a drag show with his kid, right? Family night out. Yeah, and that's actually, you're telling on yourself, obviously, but that's the reason. It's a fun night out. It's an entertainment.
Yeah, I'm curious if the valorization will happen for the Army veteran who stopped this guy from killing more people, like every other armed person who, so-called good guy with a gun, stopping a shooting.
Well, he did not have a gun. He did not have a gun, and maybe that makes things more complicated, because you read this New York Times write-up of him, and he struggled with, you know, acclimating back to civilian life after being in the service for so many years, and said he didn't want guns around him. And, you know, they don't have that narrative anymore.
Also interesting that this unarmed man with the assistance of a drag queen disarmed this guy and neutralized him. Then the police came in, didn't do any sort of reconnaissance, and threw this guy in the back of a squad car with his hands cuffed behind his back while he didn't know where his family was. That was their response to this tragedy, and they were not the ones who apprehended the guy. Richard Fierro was, and with the help of a drag queen who was performing there.
Let's Tucker Carlson addressed this last night and went up and said, said all the right platitudes. But I want you to pull the link I sent you in the IM of him with Rufo just literally weeks ago, where Tucker Carlson, you know, was basically promoting this stuff. Well, you play a little bit of Tucker Carlson here. From the other day, but I, if you look in the group chat there, let's just listen to a little bit of this. And, you know, Tucker Carlson with Rufo. When was this just from? Like literally maybe 3 weeks ago. Here he is. This is what this guy, regardless of what his response is to the shooting. It's like, oh, you know, I dropped this on the cement, this glass on the cement. But I'm shocked it shattered. I meant to throw it down on the cement, but I'm shocked that it shattered. Absolutely horrible. Nobody likes to see broken glass on the ground. Listen to this.
Chris Rufo has spent a month digging into drag queen story hours. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He joins us tonight. Chris, thanks so much for coming on. What did you find in the month you spent looking at this?
Well, I found that parents' instincts is largely correct. A lot of parents are wondering, why is an adult male putting on women's clothing and dancing and talking about sexual themes with other people's children, not only in libraries, but also in schools and other public institutions? But they're scared to say anything because they're worried about offense.
Pause it. Just one thing that I want you to look at, like that video that they show of the drag queen doing story time. And you look around and there are kids on blankets around outside listening to this, sitting next to their parents. These are parents who are taking the kids. These kids aren't like shipped off or kidnapped. And now imagine you're a semi-unbalanced right-wing guy who's buffed up with a bunch of weapons. And Chris Rufo and the largest cable outlet show in the country is validating everything that Chris Rufo, who's done this investigation for the past month.
Yeah, and is that, if you see this B-roll, is this drag queen sexualizing children, or is the drag queen just existing?
Look at the Chiron.
Manhattan
sexualized. Yeah. Sitting there reading a book.
What's the response if you took that as at face value? What's the response
exactly
to something like
exactly
that?
Exactly. I'm a hero if I go out and shoot up these people. That's what they're telling them. That's what the Manhattan Institute senior fellow is telling people. He's the guy who gets to wear the tie, but he's basically saying, like, somebody out there who has less to lose than I do better go out and put an end to this.
Yeah, won't somebody do something about this?
and talking about sexual themes with other people's children, not only in libraries, but also in schools and other public institutions. But they're scared to say anything because they're worried about offending the sensibility of many of the administrators and left-wing ideologues who police speech under the umbrella of LGBTQ tolerance. But the reality is quite simple. The academic queer theorists and the people who founded the Drag Queen Story Hour movement have left a trail of evidence in academic papers and manifestos that say the goal is very clear. They want to sexualize children. They want to subvert the middle class family. And they want to basically eliminate what they call the sexual hierarchy in favor of creating a sexual connection between adult and child, which has, of course, long been the kind of final taboo of the sexual revolution.
Pause it for one second. Just to be clear, he's saying that they have a concerted effort, an academic, a plan, and a movement of pedophilia. This is what they're saying to these people with all of the dressing of Manhattan Institute, senior fellow, the most watched cable television host in the country. They're both wearing ties, well-dressed, shaven. They would never lie about this. How could they? How could they be allowed on television and to be lying about this? That's what's going through the mind of all of the unbalanced people they know they're talking to. Who's going to save the children? The same guy who went and shot up the pizza place where there were supposedly child sex slaves in the basement that didn't exist. I mean, on and on. This is, his Tiller the Baby Killer moment for Tucker Carlson, following Bill O'Reilly's playbook to a T. Racism, xenophobia, transphobia, homophobia. Continue.
It was always the most basic taboo in our society. Stay away from the children, creep, or you will regret it. Why would any parent allow their child to be sexualized by an adult man with a fetish for kids?
I mean, two reasons.
Listen to that question.
Fetish for kids. What's the evidence that drag queen has
sexualized? What does that mean? They're reading a story and somebody's dressed as a woman.
Good thing no Republican states are in favor of child marriage. Like, it's just, as you say, it's stochastic terrorism. This is his moment to shine.
This is like, I'm really not trying to make light of this when I ask this question, but like, why is it okay for right-wingers to do drag and not be seen as that way, and yet when anyone else does it, it's seen as groovy?
Like Rudy Giuliani? Of course, because he's not sexualizing children.
Right, he's dressed up as a woman, Crowder's dressed up as a woman, and for some reason it's not the same.
We in this country officially sanctioned the assassination of imams who were promoting terrorist attacks against this country. That's all. They would get on YouTube and they would say, you should attack these people. They are the devil. The U.S. is the devil. It's the great Satan. They deserve to die like dogs. What's different between that and what these people are doing? What's the difference? What is the difference?
Well, they're wearing suits and ties, don't you see? And one of them works for the Manhattan Institute, and the other makes tens of millions of dollars a year on a hate platform on Fox.
The only difference is just they're not taking that next step and saying exactly what should be done. But they're just laying it out. Pedophiles walk amongst us. Out in the open. You know where they are.
They're forcing kids to watch sexual stuff.
You know where they are. They're at a place like the Q Club in Colorado Springs. You know where they are. That's all the time we have for tonight. Thank you for coming on, Chris. Keep playing.
reason is quite simple, is that people have been mystified and bought into this idea that it's somehow an expression of tolerance and exploration and gender creativity. But the second thing, we've seen this already in New York City, it's mandatory. New York City public schools have organized dozens of these performances as young as elementary school. These are mandatory. Parents, in some cases, were not even given the chance to opt out of them. And so this has long gone from what one conservative commentator called a, quote, blessing of liberty to something that is now being subsidized and forced onto kids by the state itself. It's something that people should trust their instincts on. People should push back against this. And, of course, people should arm themselves with the literature and the people in their
Pause it. People should push back on this. People should arm themselves with the literature. Like because they know. They can't go as far as the YouTube imams that we assassinate, American citizens, who would say, go attack these people. So they can only say, like, people need to push back. People need to arm themselves with literature. It's an interesting turn of phrase.
Yeah, I wasn't inciting people to violence. I was just selling my books.
I was just telling them to arm themselves with literature.
Put a book in a holster.
It is a hallmark of right-wing media as well, where they speak in code, and their audience knows this. This is they've gone back decades doing this. What was it, from the Limbaugh days on, treating people like kind of citizen soldiers, and you just you speak in code to them. You know, there's some things we can't say explicitly publicly, but you know what you
mean. That's what all the white supremacists say about Tucker Carlson.
They say
anyways.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Let's continue.
Advocated for this deeply disturbing sexualization of children.
Yeah, people should definitely arm themselves. I agree with that. This is keep the kids out of it, period.
Oh, that's it. People should definitely arm themselves.
Underline that.
Yep.
Oh, and then just close out the segment with that.
Thank you. You think Tucker Carlson didn't know what he was doing right there? Give me a fucking break. Jesus Christ. What a scumbag. What a scumbag. He could do 100 episodes decrying the violence. Now, nobody's happy about that. People should arm themselves. Right. Oh, no, I was referring to the literature.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No, Rufo didn't make it explicit enough.
Just this guy going back and actually like looking at his family. And just counting the dollars that he's making or whatever it is his disgusting, decrepit agenda. What a just a horrible... horrible, decrepit human being. Horrible. And every single person associated with him should share in that guilt.
His laundry service?
I mean, literally everybody associated with him in any way. The Manhattan Institute, wherever those vampires are, everyone working at Fox News. You have anything to do with making sure that shit broadcasts out onto the air?
Yeah. The FCC should be able to knock him off the airs. Airwaves.
The FCC has no jurisdiction over cable.
We need to change that.
None.
As he broadcasts from his remote studio in Maine near his palatial home.
Yeah, well. I mean, that's why they fight so hard for Chaya Raichik to remain on social media platforms, because that's the source content for them. Like, they have the hate content that they can broadcast on the airwaves, and then they have it on social media platforms as well. And then, hey, if you call it what it is and say it's hate, you're canceling me. This is anti-free speech. As Republicans advocate for ensuring that drag shows are outlawed in some states. They're the free speech warriors.
Oh, unbelievable. Let's just play this clip. I don't know. This guy is well-spoken about it. He's coming from Florida, where they have literally outlawed teachers from acknowledging that they are not straight. Outlawed teachers from acknowledging that they may be married in a homosexual marriage. It's outlawed. You will hear from your principal. We're too afraid of getting sued So don't bring up the fact that you have a husband if you're a man. Don't bring up the fact that you have a wife if you're a woman. Don't talk about your vacation if you have to say who you went on vacation with. No husband picking you up after work. Can't let the kids see that. That's what the law says. Or effectively, that's what the law does. Let's put it that way. And they all know that. They all know that. Here is Brandon Wolf. He's the press secretary for Equality Florida. I mean, good for him for maintaining in a way that I don't know that I could in that environment.
Happening for the last few years, right-wing grifters, including politicians like Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott, they've been spewing this vile, hateful rhetoric about LGBTQ people. They've been trafficking in some of the oldest, darkest tropes against our community. They've been accusing us of posing a threat to children simply because we exist on planet Earth. And we warned them that inevitably this would result in violence, but they just couldn't help themselves. They couldn't help themselves from crafting one more fundraising email or hitting send on one more grotesque tweet. They couldn't help themselves as the temperature around the country continued to rise, as young people told us that life was getting less and less safe for them. They couldn't help themselves as armed protesters started showing up at drag shows across the country, or when white supremacists were being arrested outside of pride festivals. They couldn't help themselves when children's hospitals in Boston and other cities were getting bomb threats, having to install airport security terminals to keep people safe. They couldn't help themselves when a donut shop was firebombed for daring to advertise a drag show. And now five people went to a space that was supposed to be safe for them, a space like the one I knew well at Pulse Nightclub, and they came out in body bags. Dozens of people were injured, scars they're going to carry forever. An entire community was terrorized. They paid the price for this short-sighted, cynical, and sinister hate that these people have been pumping into the ecosystem. I am angry because I am tired of asking, of begging, of screaming and scratching and clawing for people to just see us as human. See us as your family members, your neighbors, your friends. Please, I am begging you to treat us with a basic level of decency and respect. I'm angry because we deserve to live. Those people deserve to live, Joy.
Yeah. I mean, he does a good job of outlining the sort of all of the incidents that we've just watched. You know, we could do, and we do to a certain extent, almost every day, have a clip of one of these right-wing talkers attacking trans people for the past year. We could do one every day. We could do multiple ones probably every single day. It didn't work electorally, but it's certainly like, you know, guys like that loser idiot Matt Walsh, Steven Crowder. I mean, these people, this is how they make their money. This is how they make their money.
And you don't think those guys like the intimidation factor that they've ratcheted up to, even though it hasn't translated to votes?
Of course.
They're not feeling uneasy about this.
At the end of the day, they're not. I don't think they're too worried about what the electoral implications of it are. If it's putting money in their bank, if it's somehow feeding their fundamentalist world vision or their own personal insecurities, whatever it's doing for them, they're not going to stop. It's just too profitable in both like money and in whatever they get emotionally from it and status. It's sick. It's twisted. It really is the lowest of the absolute low.
And I mean, so Brandon Wolf there works with Equality Florida, and Ron DeSantis is about to be catapulted onto the national stage as a presidential candidate, most likely, on the heels of being the like founding father of this kind of very legislation, which is a national Republican Party validating,
without a doubt,
validating censorship on behalf of hate. And I mean, but what else is there to say about what their agenda is?
Really disgusting. Reminder, Tucker Carlson, when he was in college, listed himself as a member of the Dan White Society.
Oh, interesting. Was he like a football player or something?
Dan White. People might remember the assassination of Harvey Milk. Dan White was the man who assassinated Harvey Milk, who was the first openly gay man to be elected to public office in California. And he was on basically the city council of San Francisco. Dan White was the one who murdered him. Tucker Carlson listed himself in his college yearbook as a member of the Dan White Society.
Hmm.
I mean, Tucker's just, yeah, here it is. But you know what? Like,
also the Jesse Helms Foundation in there.
What, you know, it's almost like it's largely irrelevant what he was saying in college. What's more important is that, like, you know, just a month ago, he's having somebody on to talk about how there are pedophiles out there actively grooming, building a plan to groom more and more sexualized, more children, and that people need to arm themselves. When I say arm myself, I'm talking about like that little qualifier that we heard like a minute and a half ago when somebody said with literature.
Mm.
That's what he would say if you asked him. I was obviously referring back to the literature comment from a minute or two ago. What a scumbag.
If there was like a secret Dan White Society, how would, like, they would definitely all be appearing on Tucker Carlson as like part of his guests, like libs of TikTok and all those sorts of folks.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Basically the public version.
It's nuts. What he expressed as a college student is relevant only insofar as that his mentality has not
It's consistent.
Changed one iota.
Telegraphed
it. Power.
I mean, we all had dumb ideas in college, but like if we've evolved from them, that's the difference. This is actually just entirely foundational to his ideology.
All right. We're going to take a break, head into the fun half. Take a little break here. And
what was his explanation for the Dan White Society, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't remember. I'm sure it was like, oh, it's
a different Dan White.
Might not have ever even addressed it, to be honest. I'm not sure that he would be forced to.
Yeah.
I'll look, but I don't think he has.
And I would encourage people. I mean, I wish I didn't get so heated about it, but encourage people. We'll put a link to the actual that segment. Encourage people to watch that segment so they know what they're watching. Particularly that last, like, sort of very chilling moment where he says, yeah, people should arm themselves. They did. They did. They put on body armor, and they gave themselves an AR-15 and a handgun, and they went to the Q Club in Colorado Springs. They did exactly what you asked them to.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. All right, we're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half of the program.
Yeah, Tucker's not addressed the Dan White thing, at least as far as Snopes is concerned.
It doesn't even seem clear that it was an actual society. It could
no, it was just a joke.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, this is also consistent with his winking at the audience to a degree.
His dad was a Voice of America leader, and he's making edgy right-wing fascist jokes in college.
He's a 4chan right-winger before that existed.
Exactly. Yep.
You'd be making helicopter, drop out a helicopter joke.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that there are like, imagine sitting on the board of like Fox News and just be like, this is what we're doing. What a bunch of scumbags. Unbelievable. Just dirty, just the scummiest scum of the earth.
Arm yourselves against Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall for some of those conferences where they try to justify it to themselves. Oh, we're speaking to an underserved audience. People want news that doesn't talk down to them.
I think Suzanne Scott's counting her money. And I think Lachlan Murdoch is too.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he the woke kid?
Of the Murdochs? Yeah.
I'm being sarcastic.
It's your support that makes this show possible. You can become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, don't forget justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And don't forget our friends at Sunset Lake CBD. They're having a sale this week, 30% off, and they're donating a significant amount of money, percentage of their earnings this week, to a charity. I don't have the information on me now, but we'll put a link in, put a link to Sunset Lake in the podcast and YouTube description as well. Emma, what's happening on ESVN?
Well, we are now officially moving over to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/ESVN show going forward. Subscribe.
Charge.
We covered some of the World Cup yesterday. The U.S.-Wales match, which ended in a tie, was happening mid-episode, but we spoke about some of the Fyre Festival-esque conditions in Qatar, the cringy statement by the FIFA president on that, as well as just a recap of Week 11 in the NFL, including Bradley's rage at Zach Wilson. So check us out, youtube.com/ESVN show.
Matt, what's happening in the Matlek media?
Yeah, tonight on Left Reckoning, we are talking to Danny Bessner about Call of Duty and about other stuff. So patreon.com/LeftReckoning to get the post game.
All right, folks, see you in the fun half.
You are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Are you ready?
Who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back, 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 back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back, back.
Just as delicious as you could imagine.
The alpha males are back, 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 back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back, 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 back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back, back.
I take all of it to my throat.
Alpha males are back, back.
Snowflake says what?
The alpha males are back, 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 back.
You are a madman!
And the alpha males are back, back.
Oh no, Sam Cedar, what a, whoa, what a fucking nightmare! What a fucking
nightmare! Can we bring back DJ Dinner?
Yeah, or a couple of them, just put them in rotation.
DJ Dinner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough for the break.
That's fucking nonsense.
See white people doing drugs that look worse than normal white people, and all white people look disgusting.
And the alpha males,
psych, fuck them, fuck them.
Snowflake says what?
What?
Snowflake says what?
A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. Okay. I'm making stupid money. Hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang.
All lives matter.
Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back, 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 back. And the Africans are black, 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 black African. And the alpha males are black, 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 black. And the Africans are back, 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 back.
When you see Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keeping it 100. Can't knock the hustle. Come on! Fuck them. Fuck them.
Things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday!
My birthday! Birthday.
Happy birthday to me, Jew boy!
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black. Alpha males are black, black. Africans are back, back.
Come on!
Someone needs to pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total, pussy, 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 total, pussy.